And what this meant is that he was about to teach. It was very common at that time for teachers to sit while teaching. We're actually looking at getting a lazy boy up here for Sunday mornings. Barry, see if that's in the budget. But seriously, what he was about to say was very, very important. He was about to teach. The other thing I want to pull out of this verse is the audience. Who was he speaking to? Well, certainly he was speaking to his disciples, right? And not just the 12 that were in his inner circle. Now, we're actually talking about the greater circle of those who had chosen to follow Jesus. But who else was there as well? There was a crowd there, right? Those who were just curious. Those who had not yet made a commitment to Jesus, but they wanted to hear what he had to say. And I can assure you that Jesus' audience today is really no different. He is speaking to those of us who have committed to him, who consider ourselves disciples of Christ. And this Greek word here, disciple, can also be translated learner. So we're learners of Christ. But he's also talking to anyone here who may just kind of be checking this whole God thing out and this whole church thing, curious. Want to hear what they have to say. So this message that Jesus has for us today is for everyone. It's for everyone. So Jesus begins to preach. Verse 2 says, and he began to teach them. And what follows is a message that has long been recognized as the sum of Jesus' ethical teaching. In the Sermon on the Mount, which is what this is very commonly referred to, Jesus tells us how to live. Verses 3 to 11 are what is referred to as the Beatitudes, or in other words, the attitudes that should be. And these describe the attitudes and the characteristics of citizens of God's kingdom. And these character traits should be marks and goals of every Christian. He says in verse 3 and following, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Now we could spend a couple of months really kind of dissecting these Beatitudes, but what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look and see in the Beatitudes what speaks to Jesus' life. Do we see Jesus' life in these character traits? Absolutely we do. Jesus' life was a perfect example of this way of living. And if we look at him, we can understand that he was poor in spirit. I mean, he left the glory of heaven and became like us. He made himself to be poor in spirit. And he relied solely on the will of his Father. In John 4:34, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, he said, not my will, but your will be done. He made himself to be poor in spirit. He mourned. He was filled with sorrow that God's will is not recognized. He mourned over the nation of Israel that they did not recognize that their Messiah had come. In Luke 13:34, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus mourned. And he also teaches this morning for sin when he urges repentance. He tells us also in Luke 13, "But I tell you, if you do not repent, you shall perish." Jesus was also meek. And meek here doesn't mean one who's pushed around and abused. No, it's more like strength under control. Jesus, let's face it, he could have called on legions of angels anytime, in any situation he found himself, but he didn't. He submitted to the will of the Father. He hungered and he thirsted for righteousness. He hungered and he thirsted for righteousness. And because of that, most of his ministry was directed toward the underprivileged. He said to the disciples of John the Baptist in Matthew 11, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." He hungered and he thirsted for righteousness. And he was known as a righteous man, even to the Gentiles. Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man." Was Jesus merciful? Oh man. He was incredibly merciful. He showed mercy to the sick and the marginalized in society. Not only that, but he poured out his mercy when he went willingly to the cross for our sins. He hung on the cross and he cried out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Incredible mercy. And he was pure in heart. Jesus lived a pure and sinless life. He showed that it wasn't enough to be clean on the outside, right? I mean, the Pharisees had that down, the outward appearances and being clean on the outside. What Jesus showed is that the most important thing was purity of heart. He was a peacemaker. In the garden, when he was being arrested, Peter, and I love Peter because he's just so impetuous, but Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant's ear. And Jesus said, "Stop! Enough!" He came to bring peace. In John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Was he persecuted? Was he insulted? Was he falsely accused? In the most brutal and unfair way. Before his death, he was falsely accused. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was brutally beaten. And he was killed for us. And in John 15, Jesus tells his followers, his disciples, that they can expect the same treatment. He says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you." Friends, Jesus was the embodiment of these attitudes. His life was lived fully and perfectly into these character traits. So how did that change the world back then? Well, we've already mentioned the fact that this is not what the people were expecting from a Messiah. The Messiah or king wouldn't be poor in spirit. He wouldn't be poor at all, for that matter. They didn't expect him to mourn or to be meek. They wanted a strong and powerful leader. And no mercy, please. No, let the Romans have it, both barrels, right? And certainly not a peacemaker. They wanted someone to wage war and establish a kingdom. And never, ever, ever would they expect that the Messiah would be persecuted and insulted. That's not at all what they expected or wanted. That's who Jesus was. And that's how Jesus lived his life. Not only did that fly in the face of what the Jewish people expected, but society in general right? Society in general is all about the rich, the powerful, those in positions of authority. Sounds like our world today, right? I mean, if we're really honest, has a lot changed in our world since then? It's still about the rich, the powerful, those in positions of authority. But Jesus turns that all upside down, doesn't he? It's interesting, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it says that the people were astonished at his teachings. And Charles Spurgeon says in his commentary that one of the things that surprised them was the substance of his teaching. They had never heard such doctrine before. The precepts which he had given were quite new to their thoughts, right? Jesus was changing everything. The first would be last. The last would be first. Whoever would be great must be a servant. Whoever would be first must be slave of all. Jesus came to this earth not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' life changed everything. Past tense. But if you notice, the sermon title is in the present tense. The present tense, because Jesus' life changes everything today. Because God calls us to live in a way that imitates Christ, right? We've heard about this process of sanctification before, becoming more and more like Christ. We are to imitate Him. We should be exhibiting these character traits that Jesus lived perfectly. Now we know we can't do that, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can go forward in this process of sanctification. Now, some commentators say that the purpose of this sermon that Jesus gave was really to describe a moral standard so high that no one could attain it. And by doing that, we would be driven to trust in Christ as our Savior. And there's no doubt that this sermon does point us to the need for grace. It points us to the need for forgiveness. But the fact is that these teachings form a challenging but practical ethic that Jesus expects His disciples to follow today. As we start to wrap this up this morning, I want us to look at one more short passage from the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon actually goes on all the way through the end of chapter 7, but the food is hot, you guys are hungry. Let's forge ahead here, right? But I want to read chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Here Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And make no mistake, friends, Jesus is talking to us today. You and I are the salt of the earth. You and I are the light of the world. When Jesus walked this earth, He was the one to preach and to teach and to minister. Now it's our job. It's our job to be salt and light and to shine our light on the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the forgiveness and the salvation that we have through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to hear a lot more about the death and resurrection in the coming weeks. You got to come back. You got to keep coming back. This is important. But today, Jesus is calling us to live the kind of life that He lived. He commands it. At the end of Matthew, before Jesus ascended to heaven, He said, "Go and make disciples." He didn't say, "Come to church once a week and then go and live your life any way that you want." No, he said, come and learn what it means to be a disciple and then go and make disciples. We come here each week to learn and to be equipped for serving God in every aspect of our lives. To go and to be the salt and light in the world. So how are we doing with this? You feel salty? Are you shining your light? Or is it under a bowl? See, friends, this isn't just a suggestion. It doesn't say, if you feel like it, go. Right? It doesn't say, you know, if it's not too much trouble, and if you're not too busy, go. No, it says go and make disciples. As we close, I want us to remember these character traits that we see in Jesus' life. I want us all to understand that He is calling us to live our lives the same way that He lived His. His life changed everything back when He walked this earth, and it changes everything today. It changes us, it changes the way we view the world and how we live in it. Jesus' life is what shapes us, and it is what shapes Hope Church. It's why we do the things that we do. It's why we work so hard to bring the gospel to Lowell and the surrounding area. We want to honor God by sharing the gospel, loving our neighbors, and caring for each other. That sounds like a pretty good mission statement, right? That is our mission statement. We want to honor God by sharing the gospel, loving our neighbors, and caring for each other. Jesus did. Friends, if we live into this, I know that we will see lives changed because Hope Church cares. Because each and every individual here cares. His life changes everything, and we can too. Are you with me? Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before You and we praise You, Lord, and we thank You for the life of Jesus. We thank You for the person that He was, for the character traits that He exhibited, Lord. And it is our prayer that we would be a people that would imitate the life of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit become more and more like Him. Father, hear our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.